Chapter 79. Jack, 12. Jack Sunsun Volano, truthless of Shinovar, shook his head to himself. For a people with a supposed warrior tradition, the Vaden noblemen certainly found a good number of reasons to avoid entering combat personally. Perhaps it was just his company. Ilhadal Devar, despite all his boisterousness, obviously had very little actual combat experience. A lifetime of sycophantry had not prepared him for the demands of high-level leadership, especially of the martial variety. He was obviously relieved when Avan made few overt moves to enter the fighting, for it allowed Ilhadal himself to remain back as well. The idiot king was probably restrained more by practicality than by fear. His philosophy of leadership demanded that he keep himself from danger, for if he fell or were seriously wounded, the men would have no one to look to for strength. As a result, Avan stayed near the fighting, but rarely entered himself, and when he did attack, he always struck against demoralized groups of light infantry, making a great show of cutting down the poor men with his shard blade. Most of the time, however, Avan simply rode behind the ranks, presenting the perfect image of an inspiring king at war, giving his men encouragement. Not that they needed it. Jack scanned the battlefield, which was scattered with relatively few bodies. The Alice forces had fled again, as expected. Though Avan pushed his forces hard to follow, he was having a great deal of trouble cornering the Aliths. His force was not only larger, but he was in hostile, unfamiliar territory. He couldn't afford to be as frantic in his movement as Elokar's forces. The idiot king was obviously annoyed with the continued harrying. Jack moved his horse up beside Avan's, studying the king's face. The day's battle had been a quick one, barely even worth stopping. The Aliths had disengaged shortly after the fighting began, a move that had cost them a number of losses. "Why did they do it?" Jack asked, after catching the king's attention. Avan shook his head. "I don't know," he said. "Dalinar and Elokar struggle against one another for leadership of the armies. This smacks of the king's impetuousness rather than Dalinar's caution. Elokar thinks himself a clever man. It's probably some kind of trick or delaying tactic." Jack nodded, glancing to the side, as Ilhadal Devar rode up on a fine stallion, too fine, in fact. An old Shin adage said, "Never ride a horse better bred than yourself, lest men wonder if you should be carrying it instead." The house leader, of course, had seen no combat, not that there had been much time for him to have done so, had he been inclined.
"This is your fault, Vadenel," Ilhadal announced as his horse pulled up. Avan raised an eyebrow.
Behind him, soldiers picked through the field, ending the lives of any living Aliths and calling for the healers when they found a Vaden survivor.
"My fault?" Avan asked. "I am not the one who ordered the Aliths to retreat again."
"We wouldn't have this problem if you had waited to attack Crossguard," Ilhadal announced, as if he had suddenly become a master of tactics.
At least his shardplate, bronze in color and ornamented with engraved stallions, hid his age-fattened body and drooping muscles.
"Waiting another day would have done nothing, Devar," Avan said. "If Dalinar or Elokar had won decisively before we attacked, we'd only be fighting a smaller force, which would make them even more difficult to follow."
Ilhadal snorted in reply, but he did not argue. Avan turned northeast, scanning the terrain. Dusk was approaching, however, and it was growing increasingly difficult to make out distant forms in the darkness. Even if it had been light, there probably wouldn't have been much to see. The scouts said that the land sloped downward ahead of them, into a chasm that wasn't quite a lake. The Aleth forces must have found a pathway down. That would leave them vulnerable, however, with the Vadens on the high ground above. Avan turned his horse to the south, toward where the men were setting up evening camp. He kicked his horse into a trot, not bothering to bid Ilhadal farewell or order Jack to follow.
"They're probably marching through the night," Avan decided. "A desperate move. Their current pace already forces them to abandon the wounded and the weak. By marching all night, they will lose even more men to fatigue. But where are they going? Cardinar would provide safety, but it is a good distance away. Palinor is the best fortified in the area, but it was probably depleted of troops long ago. Tethkanar? It has ships, and Elikar could flee. But how would he have been able to persuade Dalinar to go along with such a plan?
The king paced slowly in his tent's main chamber. Arvin obviously didn't want any interjections from Jack. The few comments Jack had tried to make had been ignored. Balinmar sat on the other side of the room, content in his thoughts. The old advisor didn't seem concerned about the king's state of mind. However, he rarely seemed to care very much about Arvin's mood.
The seers still see very little, Arvin continued, and some of the generals are beginning to wonder if that idiot Ilhadal is right. They think that the Aloths must be leading us along some elaborate trap.
Jack frowned. The disappearance of the girl Shinri had produced a quite unexpected effect on Arvin. He seemed more unstable, less in control, than he once had been. Her disappearance seemed like such a small failure, but it obviously meant far more to Arvin. During the last few weeks, the king had become prone to pacing and mumbling as he did now, trying to vocally work through problems that he had once solved in his head.
If only they would have their minstrels play. I would know their feelings. Perhaps know which of the two truly leads. It's like they cannot decide themselves, and they take turns making decisions.
A knock came from the entrance post outside, but of course Arvin couldn't hear it. Jack had to get the king's attention, pointing at the tent flaps as the knock came again.
Come in,
Arvin ordered, pausing in his walkings. My lord, a guard said, poking his head in the flap. A messenger has arrived. He says his message is important.
Show him in, Arvin said with a wave of his hand.
The messenger entered shortly, then went to one knee before his king.
My lord, the messenger said eagerly, I have just come from the city of Ramvar, on the eastern coast of Alethkar. We have made contact with the Lochanrun fleet. They say that they are on course, and that there were no problems with their launch.
Arvin paused, then took a deep breath and nodded.
Good. Go deliver the same message to each of the first generals in the army, then finally to Ilhadal Davar.
The messenger nodded, then retreated. As he left, the same guard from before poked his head into the tent again. This time his face was confused.
My lord, he said, I apologize for bothering you again, but it appears that you have a visitor.
Arvin frowned. Who?
The guard parted the flaps and a red-haired woman strode into the room. She wore a deep brown cloak, tied closed as if to hide her in the night, and held a young boy in her arms. There was something familiar about her features.
Nanava, Arvin said with stupefaction. What are you doing here?
Arvi?
The woman asked, looking at him with amazed eyes.
It is you. They said that you... I mean, blessed be the Almighty...
Nanava Kolin, Arvin's sister, Elokar's wife. This isn't good, Jack thought with a foreboding feeling.
You should not have come here, Nanava, Arvin said slowly.
And why not? The woman said. Avi, someone had to come speak with you. Invading Alethkar? We're your allies. Who convinced you to do this thing?
Arvin didn't answer, his face troubled. Across the room, Balinmar leaned forward with interest, and Nanava finally noticed the old man.
You! She said with shock. What is the meaning of this?
She paused, looking from Balinmar to Arvin, eyes widening slightly. Balinmar chuckled.
No, child. I'm not the one who convinced your brother to attack. He made that decision quite pleasantly on his own. I'm simply here in an advisory capacity.
Traitor!
Nanava said. Balinmar shrugged.
I wouldn't be quite so accusatory, my dear. If you were simply coming to plead for your brother to cease his attack, why did you bring your son with you? Could it be that someone feared she was on the losing side and decided to defect?
Nanava covered her embarrassment with the customary skill of a Kanaran noblewoman. She did not, however, deny Balinmar's accusation.
The army was moving too quickly, she finally said, and I was slowing them. I came to plead the bond of kinship and ask for protection and passage to Vaidenar.
A politically practical move, Jack thought. Very much a Kanaran noblewoman.
Leave us, Avan said quietly, waving to the guard.
Nanava looked up, her political visage melting slightly as she regarded her brother.
Oh, Avi, she said, how you've changed! It's a miracle, truly!
She reached out, cradling the sleeping boy in one arm, brushing Avan's cheek with the other.
You always did treat me differently, Avan said. The others were so cruel. But you sang to me. When I could still hear, if only a little. You would sing, and those are the only songs I can still remember. The only things I can still hear.
Nanava smiled.
I remember,
she said. Avan shook his head.
I killed them, Nanava.
She frowned.
Who?
Our brothers, Avan said with a quiet sigh. All four of them. I killed them one at a time when everyone thought me an idiot.
Nanava?
No, Avi. You didn't do that. They died by accident.
Avan shook his head.
The more suspicious elements in court assumed it was Karathach, of course, especially when I let him assume command when I came to the throne. No one suspected me. Poor, dim-witted Avan, a pawn in the Vaiden court. A man thought a fool simply because he lost his hearing as a child and didn't learn to speak when he should have.
Nanava didn't notice the curling line of smoke around Avan's hand.
You shouldn't have come, Avan repeated. Do you realize that when I take Alethkar, the old king's wife and son will be the greatest threat to my throne?
Nanava looked too shocked to reply.
But, Avi, she said, you speak nonsense. Who is telling you these things? Let us speak to them. You don't have to listen to what they say. You're king.
Yes, Avan said. I am king.
He stared at her for a brief moment, a deep sadness showing in his eyes.
I remember those songs still, Nanava. Sweet, beautiful, like a songbird.
Avan looked up, glancing toward Balinmar, then Jack, then at the door. Neither man needed further prompting. This was one task Avan would perform with his own hands. When Jack returned, he found Avan sitting quietly between two bodies. There had been very little screaming. Even at the end, the woman hadn't really understood what was happening. Even sharp political minds often had trouble seeing past familial prejudices. Avan looked up at Jack's entry. Jack had expected to see grief, even madness, in Avan's eyes. He was not prepared to face calm coolness instead. Avan stood.
The Aleth forces are traveling to Teth Kanar, he said firmly.
Jack looked up from the gruesome corpses of Nanava and her son.
You're certain?
Avan nodded sharply.
I can see it in their movements. Teth Kanar is the largest city in this region and will have soldiers and gemstones to lend. Its lord Intara Teth is a sot. Like Dalinar, he refused to join with either Elokar or Jezenrosh. But he also refused Dalinar's call to arms. He would probably just squat in his keep forever and let the kingdom fall around him, content to his parties and his grief. But he won't be able to ignore his countrymen if they arrive in such a state.
Jack frowned at the change in Avan's demeanor.
The king was certain again, in control.
"Clean this up," Ovin said, stepping over the body of his sister without looking down. "Make certain no one discovers what happened here. It wouldn't be good for morale."
With that, he left the tent. Jack stood in the stillness. For the first time, he realized that the chest in the back of the room was open. He approached and found the cage inside was now empty. The last two birds lay dead at the cage bottom, their necks snapped with a quick, efficient hand. Ovin had no birds left. Jack looked up, staring after the king, wondering what the move meant.
"He killed his sister, the only person I've ever seen him show affection for."
Perhaps what Jack had seen in Ovin earlier, the indecisiveness, the emotion, was not madness. Maybe it had simply been humanity. And it was gone now. Ovin had become the perfect leader he had spoken of, a man free from conscience. He had no room for love, guilt, or sorrow. He had already destroyed everything that could have produced any of the three.